It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, it is a blustery day in Southern California, not so much in Central California, it sounds like. Here, as always, another edition of Advantage Connors, your co-hosts Jimmy and Brett Connors. What's going on, Pops? We got those Santa Anas are blowing down here about 70, 80 miles an hour overnight. What, not so bad up there?
Yeah, no, it's a little calmer than that up here, but the good thing is we've had a lot of rain, so we got to keep those fires away. That's important, so... you just watch yourself down there and be careful. But wow, what a day, Brett. I mean, I get up, I love getting up and hitting a few balls and getting ready. I do a little work and then I'm ready for golf. Our friend Richie, who has been on our podcast, he's a friend of the podcast, has been on a number of times. He's been out of town at some tennis tournament. And so I played with my friend Ashley.
Okay.
And that was kind of a step up as far as keeping balls in play, but the pace of the ball. I'm a little too old for that.
A little sore.
I'm a little too old for that now, son.
Yeah.
So I was walking off and I told Ashley, I said, I had a great time. We played for 50 minutes. That's pretty good for me. 50 minutes was pretty great. And I walked off and he says, what about, can you play in the next couple of days? I said, give me a day off. I'll see you Saturday. I called your mom. I said, turn on the jacuzzi, put the ice in the bathtub. I said, I'm coming home. Oh, my God.
Time to recover.
My fingers even hurt. My fingers hurt. But yeah, it was fun. I got a good sweat, and it was a really good day. Then I chipped and putted a few, and we have been without our internet up here. For
still?
No, we're good now.
Oh, okay.
We've got it back, but we were behind by like 6 days. So we were without it for 6 days. So I had a lot of work to catch up on, and so I did that. So it's been a good day, and I'm home, and I'm feeling a little better. And it's amazing what a little bit of ibuprofen does for you. Mm. it's good, but I'm feeling better. But
ibuprofen and a couple of CBD gummies, I'm guessing, too.
We have to talk about that further, because I have met some very good friends now up here.
Uh-oh. You got a new connect,
and
huh?
That I have gone to meet with and spectacular, that, you know, about, you know, the goodness and the wellness of the gummies and just pot in general.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as inflammation and feeling better and wellness and sleep and all that. And I told them, and, you know, and I'm not selling anything right now, but I'm saying that I would like to take you with me there. Because I know you read everything, Brad, and she was talking about not only, you know, the plant and the grow from the seed to the, you know, start to finish to the cell to everything. And then she was talking about the psilocybin, right?
Yeah.
You know, with the mushrooms and, you know, what that does for you and, you know, how it works with, you know, certain patients. And, oh, my God, it was a great educational hour and a half. But it was almost like it was too much. It was an overload, you know, little bits at a time for me. But, you know, but I said, I've got somebody who knows a lot about that.
Mm-hmm. I'll come with you next time.
So next time you go with me.
Yep.
And help me, because They have given me some things as for inflammation and pain, mm-hmm. and you know, and I've also talked about this, I think, on the podcast that over the last number of years, and I've never had gout in my life, and all of a sudden, you know, 3 years ago, I started getting these cases of gout, and the pain with gout is beyond. Mm-hmm. And you know, they were saying how we could treat that and what's good for that. And the good thing is what you've been saying, you know, for, I don't know how many years now that, you know, what it's a plant and right. what that plant can do for you, and what they can do with it to, you know, to make things better. Not that I'm diving, you know, headfirst into it, but
you're sticking your pinky toe in.
I got my pinky, my gout pinky into it.
Got your gout pinky toe.
My little gout.
That's funny.
But it was amazing to spend the time and to hear what they can do and how they do it and how they can, you know, make things possible just for me.
Yeah.
You know, and what I'm looking for and how that can help me. And if it doesn't work, come back. We'll figure something else out. Mm-hmm. But, you know. I'm almost 72 years old, and I don't have to make an excuse to anybody about what I do anymore, and get rid of a lot of this inflammation that the first 72 years of my life has caused. And I'm not complaining because I loved it, but I'm looking for any kind of relief that I can find. And if that's all part of it, I'm in. I'm in.
Sign me up.
That's right. But I got to take a professional with me, and that's you.
Yeah, I'll come and walk you through it and be open to whatever they say. It makes me think of our stock MNMD that we've been waiting on and deals with the psychedelics research for pharmaceutical products. Had a nice couple months here popping finally after a bad year or so. But was out in Death Valley. Went out there for two nights. The word was there's a lake in Death Valley, and I don't know if everybody knows out there, but Death Valley is the lowest point in the United States. It's called Badwater Basin, and it's kind of where the salt flats are. You've seen the pictures. It's like all white, these big white fields. It's just all salt from, you know, millions of years ago. There was a big lake there. The lake dried up. Or, you know, the ocean or whatever was there, and then the ocean receded, and then, you know, left the lake there, dried up, and then there's all this salt. Because of a hurricane in August that came up the West Coast, it dumped a lot of water, and then we've had a really rainy season here in California over the winter, which has even added more to it. So whatever, long story short, we wanted to go out there and see this because there's literally a lake 300 feet below sea level. So you're like, you're below sea level, and then there's this lake out there, you know, it's not super deep now, but if you walk out there, it gets, you know, it gets up to your, you know, up by your knees or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty cool. We didn't bring Bella. We left her with you, you know,
we loved it. You can leave her with us anytime.
She had fun. She took her 2 days to recover. But yeah, we went out there and stayed a couple nights. We stayed one night in the park. There's only a couple hotels actually in the park. They're owned by the same company called Oasis. Everything else is like an hour and a half outside of the park. So, you know, Vegas is 2.5 hours if you keep going east. And then it's about a 5 hour drive from Santa Barbara or LA. So we stayed.
You know that's important though, Brett, when mainstream media brings it up
mm-hmm.
and starts talking about it. You know, we turned on the morning shows, and you know they're showing that as you were there, and you and Melina have gone there. By the way, you should put some pictures up, Brett. Some of the pictures that you took while you were there are amazing.
Yeah, really pretty.
Yeah, really pretty. You should put some up on our Facebook so mm-hmm. that our listeners could see them. It's amazing pictures, but it's, you know, it's surely important when mainstream media jumps in and grabs it.
It must be real if mainstream media is talking about it.
Yeah, you know that for sure.
But it was fun. The place we stayed, I thought you would like it because I know you're a fan of the old Westerns. I catch you watching the old Western channel all times a day.
I got my cowboy boots and hat ready for action.
But this place was, it was called The Ranch at Death Valley.
Oh.
And it had like, you know, the old stagecoach. It had like a little museum, you know, and the old train tracks and, you know, horses. And, you know, it had a pool and had a golf course. It's the lowest, it's the lowest, you know, below sea level golf course in the country. It looked pretty nice. Only two par fives, though. Only two chances to really, you know, go for it. You know, go for it in two, like I know you like to do.
Oh yeah, I'm a layup artist.
Yeah, but it was cool. Like they had little like you know, cabin casita things, you know, and you know, a little living room. It had a washer and dryer in it, and a couple beds. So it was fun. We hung out for a couple days, took some pictures, drove around, and just kind of disappeared. It was nice. It was, speaking of no internet, there's like zero phone connection out there. Like nothing.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
Good.
So it's kind of nice.
You know, and it's funny you say that because I was going to bring that up. First of all, before I bring that up, if you're below sea level, I know if you're in the mountains, you know, in Aspen or Vail or wherever you go, if you hit a golf ball, it's going to carry even further.
Mm-hmm.
If you're below sea level, is it different?
It goes less. You actually have to hit more club. That's it. Yep. I read that. They were saying that on a little pamphlet or something there.
Yeah, interesting. Fun. Mm-hmm. I'd love to go there. Next time, you know, grab me and your mommy and we'll go.
Yep.
We'll go with you.
Yep. I'm kind of surprised after being, you know, getting into national parks and stuff. There's a lot of them have golf courses in them or near them or around them. You know, Yosemite has one kind of right there in the middle of it. Zion has one, you know, just right outside the park, not too far. You know, St. George has a bunch of really nice golf courses. Played a couple of them in October when I went to see Aunt Nida. But yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just fun. It's just one of those things where you need to do it, bucket list kind of thing. Go check it out once and see it because, you know, it's pretty unique and beautiful.
If you had one place that you within, you know, within close range, you know, 6 hours, 6-7 hours, you know, that because you like to drive too. You like to, you know, even if Bella goes with you, she gets in and you guys love to go. Where would you like to go that you haven't been?
The one place I want to go that I haven't been is Yellowstone. I have not been to Yellowstone. That's a little further than 5 or 6 hours, maybe more like 12, 13 or something. I'm not sure exactly, but, you know, it's up north. That seems pretty cool when you see all the wildlife, the bears or the, you know, the buffalo, or you see the wolves that they like reintroduced years back, or you know, elk
right.
or whatever it is, you know, you got just so much. I like animals. That's what I like to look at. Whenever you go somewhere, I want to check out, you know, the animals, try and interact with them or take pictures of them or, you know, whatever you can do. And Yellowstone looks like it's got a lot of that.
Well,
what about you?
I'm happy in Santa Barbara right now.
I know.
I'm good right here at the moment. I you know, and we talk about this all the time, but I did a lot of traveling since I've been 15 years old, and you know, from that, not only in this great country, the United States, but you know, around the world and Europe and Asia. I've visited almost every continent you know, played in front of many fans and, you know, many, you know, people who love tennis and are just introduced to tennis. And I'm happy to be here right at the moment. You know, not that that's not going to change, because I've talked to your mom a lot about it, because, you know, she loves to dance and, you know, we kind of get mixed up. She dances and then, okay. And then the next week I go play golf with my buddies, but we're looking to start getting away and around a little bit, maybe not so far. You know, but you know, things that we have so many things that are close to us that we haven't experienced, and you have, and you tell us all the time. You know, you got to do this. You got to get up and go and be a part of it. You know, even if it's just for a couple of days, but it gives us a chance to get away, and you know that I think that's coming in our future, in our very near future, because as much as we love it here, and it's you know, let's face it, it's spectacular. We've got mountains, we've got the water, we've got everything here, but it's good to see other things. And everybody says, let's go to Europe, let's go to Asia, let's go here. We've got so much here in this country that we have not seen.
Yeah.
And that to me is more important to me. So give us time, you know, be a little patient with us.
Okay.
Be a little patient. we'll get up and get going soon enough. We'll
okay.
do it.
That sounds good. Let's dive into some topics here. What do you think?
I got a topic.
Give me one.
Mike Tyson fighting Jake Paul. What do you think?
I was wondering if you saw that.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great promotion. You know, with all due respect, you know, I know Mike. He's been on our podcast. By the way, he was our very first podcast that we ever did, which was in Palm Springs, and he was very open and honest with us.
Four years ago. Can you believe that? Four years ago last week.
4 years ago. It's amazing. And we're still on the air.
Can you believe it?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, that's funny.
But he's 50. He's in his late 50s.
57.
I know he's 57 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. With all due respects, I still don't want to fuck with him.
Right.
I mean, his attitude and you know what he brings to it, his mental from his upbringing and what it meant to him and how important it was in his training that he had,
yeah.
and all that. You know, I know age enters into everything, but when you have that kind of drive,
yeah,
and you know, once he may think of one thing when he's in the ring and he's sparring and he's training and everything, but once that bell goes ding ding, oh my God, I that's the last place I would ever want to be. But on the other hand, Jake Paul, when he first got into it, everybody thought he was a joke.
Right. And he keeps getting wins. I mean, over guys.
And he just keeps winning.
Keeps winning. But, you know, over dudes that might not be as good of a reputation as, I mean, obviously as Mike. I mean, 30-year age difference is a lot. But, I mean, Mike put out some videos I saw this week, yesterday or something, like, hey, the training has started. And he still looks pretty fast. Pretty fast.
Oh my God!
I wouldn't want to mess with that.
No, you know, you go back 30 years. That's who we were on the senior tour, and he'd be fighting, and we'd have that on at whatever time it was, so that everybody could watch him fight.
Oh, yeah.
He was
Hurricane, you know, against
he
Hurricane.
Was my kind of guy.
Hurricane.
He was
Peter.
My kind of guy, Brad.
Hurricane, you know, Peter McNeely.
Pardon?
When he fought Hurricane Peter McNeely, we were in on the East Coast at one of the senior events. We were all watching it. I remember that one.
How long that lasts?
Not long, like a round and a half or something.
Right. You know, but he's my kind of guy. You know, he comes in, he's got no frills. You know, he's got his, you know, his black boots on, his shoes on, and he's got his trunks, and he's got a towel draped over his head. He's not old. He's there for business. And
yeah.
And I loved watching him, go and work and do what he did the best. And he was something, you know, we've had a number of opportunities to meet him and talk to him. And he's openly honest about his life.
Big time.
Not many people are like that.
No. No, he's big time
honest. It was a thrill. It was a thrill to be with him. I mean, he walked in, you know, I remember when he walked in to do our very first podcast, you know, and everything that went along with it. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
You can explain it, but I got it in my mind.
Definitely entertaining. I just hope it's not some sort of setup thing, you know, or some weird.
Right.
And I really don't want him to lose because, like, you know, losing to Jake Paul seems a little like a YouTube guy. Like, I don't know. Hopefully he makes a lot of money. Randomly, when we were hanging out after he came on the pod, I went down and hung out down at his studio where he records his podcast near the airport, near LAX. Mm-hmm. And one time randomly went down there and he was shooting one of his episodes and it happened to be with Jake Paul. This is probably three years ago or something. So like they've known each other. He been on his pod and stuff, you know, a while back. So they might have been thinking about this for, you know, might have been in the works for a while.
Oh no, it's not Rocky IV, is it?
That was a good one. I liked Rocky IV.
Oh no. But I hope it's, you know what, just for the fun of it, I'm going to tune in.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
I'll do it just for the entertainment. I'll sit back and you know, you know, pop a cap and have a beer and watch it. It'd be fun because he's always entertaining.
Yep, definitely. All right, let's move on to a little tennis. I don't want to keep you too long, but did you see from Indian Wells down in the desert, the big story of the week was Djokovic going out early, lost to, who did he lose to? Luca Nardi, the Italian player. So I want to want to combo this. We got a couple questions about that, and then we also got a couple questions about Italy. Italy kind of is kind of breaking on the scene now. Men and women have a lot of good players. I mean, obviously, Sinner, everyone knows. On the women's side, you have Cocchioretto, you have Paolini, Arani, still the old school in there. But I think they have six or seven in the top 100. The men have, I think, seven. In the top 100, wow. You got Matteo Arnaldi. A lot of people know about him the last year. But then Luca Nardi is the name everyone is talking about, who was able to take out Joker in three exciting sets. What do you think about it?
I didn't see much about that. So I knew there must have been, something that happened. And then now I see that this young Italian, steps up and, gives him a whacking, But hey. Shit happens.
Yeah.
On both sides, congratulations that he was able to, go in and to play the kind of tennis necessary to beat him, but also, Joker, you got to look at the whole picture, Brett, that Federer stepped away. Nadal has been injured. And trying to fight through to maybe play one more French and, one more Olympics and try to, come through with that. And, age is something that you can never beat. And as much as you try to fight it, and as much as you try to figure out a way, with your diet or with your training or whatever, numbers count in that. And when you're playing guys that are, 15 years younger than you, experience is a great thing. And I want to say it one more time. The only thing about experience is by the time you get it, you're too damn old to do anything with it. And it comes to a point where these kids are just young and they're willing to do and stay. Because Djokovic was the same way when he was coming up. And playing the players that, that he had to beat to get, to make his reputation and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's tough. But I want to say this, though, about him. I'm not counting him out. Whether he, here's a question. You think he'll pull out of Miami? If that was me, I'd be in Miami saying a lot of things.
He probably can't wait to get back on court.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be interesting to see what his future plan is for the next, three or four days, 5 or 6 days, whatever it comes to going into Miami. But it's getting to the point where you see these young guys like Sinner and Alcaraz and Rublev, and these guys are saying, wait a minute, isn't it our time now? And on the other side, I like a guy like Djokovic who's standing in there saying, shoot me first. it's a double-edged sword.
What about like with Djokovic, you think the guy who would beat him would be maybe somebody who's got big weapons, would have to blow him off the court. But with Nardi, he doesn't have huge weapons. He's like fast, he's quick, he's crafty, and he's like 6'1". He's not super big. What do you think about that?
Does he do what Djokovic does?
That's what I'm saying. Because then the next match, I was looking at the line going like, well, Nardi, who's he play? Played Tommy Paul. And he was like almost 5-1 underdog. And I almost took a little bit of Nardi just thinking, hey man, if he can beat Djokovic, but tennis is such a funny sport because it's so matchup based, like, hey, in that night he serve was on and the other guy was a little off, or he did something that Djokovic didn't like really well, or Djokovic wasn't doing blank well, or whatever it is, But then in the next match it doesn't carry over necessarily because the matchup isn't the same.
Well, then I got to go back to the old days where you call a guy like that a stopper. You know, and you know, he goes out and he plays the match of his life and he beats Djokovic and then, you know, can't carry through. You know, he plays the match of his life. You know, tennis consistency, you know, go every match you go out and play, you bring your best and give it everything you have. But the feeling of beating a guy like Djokovic, and you know, who's the number one player in the world in you know, 1 million grand slams and, you know, whatever he's won or whatever, you know, that the feelings you get after that, the euphoria is something that you have to know how to control.
Yeah.
You know, and understand that, hey, wait a minute, this is only the third round, you know, or whatever. I've got four more rounds to win this tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, and how to control that, you know, and how to go out the next day and produce that same kind of tennis, you know, whether you're 100% or only 80% and figure out a way to win.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's important in the game. And that's where your legacy, you know, a lot of guys beat Connors, a lot of guys beat Borg, a lot of guys beat Mack, a lot of guys beat Lindell, a lot of guys beat Nastasi. Do you win the tournament?
Yeah. Well,
or is it a one-off?
Well, what about, you know, I mean, he's young, you know, it's like one of those things where you got to have your first big win, you know, but the thing that's difficult too is coming down off that high. You know, you've never had a win that big on a stage like that, playing on center court.
Right.
So, I mean, it's difficult. It's like, it just seems like it's one of those things where it's like a stepping stone for young players. They're going to.
Exactly. You said it all right there, bud. You said it all coming down off that high, you know, and how to come down off that high and walk out the next day and play another match where you have to reach that high again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a bounce, you know, until Sunday comes around, you got to figure out a way to keep your game and your mental. The mental is more important than the game, because the game is always there. It's what you're willing, after beating a guy like Djokovic, to walk out and say, you know, because everybody's patting you on your back.
What do you mean the game is always there?
Well, you know, the forehands, the backhands,
you already got those down pat, pretty much, you're saying.
You've got that down,
yeah.
Exactly. You know, but after beating a guy like, you know, Djokovic, you know, everybody's patting you on the back. Oh, my God, what a win. You're great. You're this, you're that. Everything's in order. And, you know, but the next thing that comes up is, wait a minute. I got to play tomorrow, too? What?
Right. And another good player.
Yeah, another good player. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's fun to see these young guys.
And what about the Italians, in specific the Italians? Because I know you were always close to Panatta, you know, one of the great Italian players when you played. And then now just it's kind of cool to see this, because our numbers in Italy are pretty good on Advantage Connors. We have a little bit of a fan base, and we have some vocal people on our social media that give us shout outs from Italy. So we love you guys and just want to, you know, what do you think about it? Because there are a lot, especially on the men's side. I mean, the women too. Paolini just won Dubai a couple weeks ago. That's a huge tournament win for her.
Beautiful. Because, you know, the resurgence of tennis in Italy is amazing. Because, you know, I'm going to go back when I was playing in the 70s, and I played the Italian Open at Foro Italico, which was always amazing because the fans were crazy. You know, outside the U.S. Open, that was the next best place I would love to play. And they loved their tennis. And I played with Panatta and Berrettini and Bertolucci and, you know, guys that when they played in Italy, you know, if they were 7 on the Richter scale, when they played in Italy, they were 9.5. You know, I mean, the crowd just raised them to a different level. And the excitement and the thrill that they brought was amazing. And Foro Italico, by the way, was an amazing place to play. I didn't play there as much as I should have, but it was so much fun. But it's good to see the resurgence of Italian tennis. And I'm sure My friend Adriano Panatta is excited about, you know, the tennis and what it's bringing and the notoriety, especially with Sinner, you know, and what he's done and the way he's put Italian tennis back on the map. So, you know, Adriano, I'm giving you a shout out. You know, tune into our podcast. We, you know, hope to see you soon.
Love to get him on. That'd be a great guest for us. If anyone knows Adriano, have him hit us up on the pod, and we'd love to get him on someday.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for candidates isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is the matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. So ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with your candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agreed Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. The one thing I love about Indeed is that it makes it so easy to hire because everything is all in one place. I don't have to go around searching for different things on different websites. Indeed's got me covered. Also, it helps it get done fast. That's the best part, too. If you're looking to get help with your company and hiring, Indeed's got your back. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Here's my favorite part, guys. Listeners of this show, Advantage Connors, get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your job more visibility at Indeed.com/Connors. That's right. All you got to do is go to Indeed.com/Connors right now and support our show, Advantage Connors, by saying you heard it here on this podcast. Helps us a lot. Just go to Indeed.com/Connors. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, let's get back to the show.
I thought this question was good. Dan Hull said, "Hey, Jimmy, I was wondering if you think you would have won even more matches or tournaments if you had went to your yellow Astusa racket sooner."
Oh.
Because I feel like we've always talked about, you know, the T2000, and you struggled to find a racket after that that fit your game. And, you know, you went back to it sometimes, but then you always say how much you enjoyed playing with the Astusa. But, you know, by the time you found it, you were 38, 39 years old.
Very interesting. And I struggled to find a racket that gave me help. Yeah, because the T2000 had such a trampoline effect, you know, that if my timing was good, the ball would just sling off that racket. Mr. Lacoste, when I was able to meet with him and talk to him, he designed, he manufactured, he created that racket, you know, and the way he talked to me about that racket was amazing. And that's what I could never find, Brett. I could never find that spring off the racket because my timing, you know, without patting myself on the back, which I am, was perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the way I played and the way I timed the ball, I never hit the ball. I timed it. And the way it came off that racket. And once I got to that Astusa racket, it was a little late. It came at a good time, you know, towards the end of my career. But if I could have had it maybe, you know, four or five years before that, you know, who knows? I mean, I'm not looking back. I don't really do that, and I don't care.
Yeah, but just...
it came along at a really good time when it was my last run. And I was getting older, and everything had to fall in line.
What did you like about it?
Well, the weight, and the way, you know, our friend and our friend of our podcast and our friend forever, Bill Lully, the way he weighted the racket and the way that it fit my game. You know, a lot of guys think that you could pick up a racket and say, "Oh yeah, this is fine. This is good." You know, back in the day, that was different. you know, you had to tinker. And I learned that from Pancho Gonzalez back when, Christ almighty, in the late 60s, you know, when he was putting lead tape on his racket, you know, make it a little heavier here, and so that you can put a little bit more topspin, or put it on the other side where you could hit flat, or put it on the top. I mean, he was amazing with tinkering with his rackets. And our friend Billy, who traveled with me and took care of my rackets and everything, he was amazing with that. And knowing how to, you know, to tinker with the rackets and make it so it fit my game, because I didn't play a topspin game. I played a flat game. And you know, what it took for me to be able to hit the ball flat and carry it deep, you know, and get the pace. And you know, it's a science.
Mm-hmm. Did you take what they sent you, Astusa, and then Billy would go and tinker with it, right? And then you'd go out on court, mess with it. Nah, I need a little more here, a little less there.
Yeah, it wasn't just a, here's your rackets, go play. It was, here's your rackets. Here, Billy, take the rackets. You know, and here's what I'm looking for. You know, he drilled holes and, you know, from the bottom of the grip all the way through to give me weighting in the head, you know, weighting in the throat, weighting in the head. How do you do that? You know, what, you know, and we talk about him all the time because he was in the race car business. So he knew all about that. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
You know, so, you know, his way to balance and all that was pretty good.
Didn't his dad own like a hardware store?
And he did.
Right. Yeah. So, like, he knew, like, all the little, like, you know, tinker this, gadget that, you know, use this to do that. Like, he grew up around it. And, you know, he likes golf, likes tennis, you know, racing. I feel like he likes fishing, too. Like, he likes all the kind of things where you can tinker and make, you know, your club or your whatever, how you like it.
I'd give him the rackets, Brett, and I wouldn't see him for a week.
He'd go in the lab.
Yeah, he'd be. I'll get your rackets. He'll be there by Saturday. Don't worry. You take care of your, you know, play with those in the meantime. So
yeah.
In the meantime, shout out to Billy.
Lel. Got to get Lel on here at some point. We got to do it when we're in person though. So that'll be a good one.
Yeah, he'd be so much fun. It'd be great to see him.
Here's one we've gotten. So here's a question.
Give me another one.
Okay,
I'm ready.
Here's one we've gotten a few times. It's I kind of know what you're gonna say, but Betty Haddox says, why do they keep giving the same players wild cards and they continue to lose in the first round? I think I know. I mean, I think she's probably talking about someone like Emma Raducanu. I've seen that name. And then Murray, they say a lot. You know, obviously we've talked about the Murray thing before. But, I mean, I think it's because of all the different relationships within tennis. You know, like an agent is friends with this person who runs the event, or this tournament organizer, or this tournament president has a relationship, or is run by a certain company, or, you know, represented by a company, or, you know, shares the sponsor or something like that. So, and then what do you think? Also, maybe name recognition?
Yeah, name. I think that's a big part of it. You know, and a guy like Murray that, you know, his reputation and what he brings to a tournament and his ticket sales.
Right.
You know, and I go back to ticket sales because, you know, a reputation, you know, like Borg or Mac or me or Sampras or whatever had, you know, is good on, you know, it doesn't work on Saturday and Sunday because that's sold out anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking for guys who can sell tickets on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday at noon.
Right.
You know, so who's that going to be? You know, and that's all a big part of it. But when a guy, you know, pays his dues or a lady pays their dues and they have a reputation of being a player and a competitor, you know, giving it their all every time they go out there, you know, that's pretty important because eventually it's going to be over, you know, and there's somebody else who's going to take their place. It's inevitable, but there comes a point in time where you got to look at the other way too. There's time for a young guy or a young lady to come in and give them a chance,
mm-hmm.
you know, out of college or 16, 17 years old. I mean, I know the chances that I had when I was 16 or 17 years old was amazing, you know, right. And they could have given it to somebody else, you know, but because of Pancho, you know, they said, yeah, we'll give Connors, you know, you know, a place in the Pacific Southwest. You know, shit, I made my reputation there. It started right there when I was 16, 17 years old. And so, you know, there comes a time where youth has to come and take over. But, you know, and as an old guy, I'm for the old guy. I'm for somebody like Murray who still loves the game and wants to go out and compete and try to do it. But there comes a time where it's where youth is going to take over no matter what. And to bring that youth into the game and to, you know, to make them a part of it and to give them a chance is very important because, you know, as much as Murray wants to play, you know, he's not going to play 20 years from now. This 17 years old, you know, 17, 18 year old, it will.
Yeah.
You know, if you give them a chance and, you know, it's a double-edged sword. You know, to figure out which is the right way to go, but
yeah, it's tough.
It's a tough decision.
You see it
for the tournament.
Yeah, you can see both sides because if somebody's young and new and doesn't have a name, then they're probably not going to sell tickets. But how are they going to make their name if they don't get a chance to play? So it's like,
exactly.
But then you also want to see the greats like Murray. You know, even if it is the end of his career or whatever, you still want to see him. You know, in these different cities, it might be the last time they get a chance to see him. So it's tough. It's a balancing act, and sometimes it's, you know, you can see the decisions are difficult. Sometimes you can see it's almost like black and white where it's like, well, the, you know, they're represented by IMG and IMG owns the event. That's why they got in or something like that. You know, like that happens a lot too.
Yeah. But that runs a short road. You know, because eventually IMG who owns the event is going to say you ain't pulling your weight.
Right.
Because you know, I hate to go back to the day, but I've been there too. you can't say one thing that I haven't been through.
Right.
You know, listen, I give me a wild card into this. Well, I'm sorry. We got this, you know, 20-year-old that's coming up, maybe next time.
Yeah, right.
Shit. I've been there too.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I got one or two more and then we'll get out of here.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's see, what is this? Jeff Zipman, I think. Emma Navarro looks strong and talented. And I wanted to talk to you because I think you know her dad, Ben Navarro, a little bit, right? I think you were you're talking about that.
Yeah, a little. I went with Andy, Andy Roddick, who I had coached at one time, and they were trying to do something. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, I think it was in the Charleston area.
Yep.
And he had an academy or whatever. It didn't work out, but I know he is deep into tennis and what he wants to do and how he wants to bring his daughter along and you know, her credentials. I mean, you know, she's been touted for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And
she has.
Yeah.
I think, so, you know, she's, but we knew about her cause every year her, you know, they have the clay court event now, the women's event in Charleston that, you know, he runs and owns, I think. And you know, we would see her there. She would get a wild card there at some, maybe some of the other events, but it felt like maybe, you know, was she getting the wild card cause it's her dad's event, but like now that is gone, you know, like she's getting wins over big time players. You know, she's playing right now. We're recording this on Thursday. She's out there against Sakkari. I think it's the quarterfinals.
Yeah, she beat our girl Sabalenka.
I know. That's right? You know, biggest win of her career. You know, she's gonna be 22. She turns 23 in a couple months. But it seems like she's, you know, coming into her own, starting to pick up these wins consistently. You know, like it used to be once in a while she would jump up and then maybe not back it up. But she's, you know, becoming a lot more consistent. She seems like she's physically, you know, fit and in shape, and you know, her results are starting to show.
Yeah, isn't that the most important thing? And we talk about that probably every podcast, Brett, that being in shape and taking care of your business and knowing what you can do is the most important. And you know, once that settles in, you know, some players, men, women, whatever, either way, take a little longer. You know, to get into that and to get into the flow and to know what it feels like to train and to on the court and off the court, and what it takes, you know, to take that to the real thing, which is the match competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, maybe, you know, she's 20, almost 23.
Yep.
You know, that's okay. She's still young.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 23 is young. And you know, for her to have an attitude like that, and, you know, I'm rooting for the young.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for those young kids to come up and say, it's my turn, my time. You know, I've got the mental, I've got the physical, and I've got the game. You know, it's three things. It's not just one.
Yeah.
It's all three of those, you know, and I've got to bring it. Yeah. Because I'm going to bring it to you. and sometimes attitude is the most important thing, you know, to... I want to go back because I was in a position where, you know, everybody was dumping on me and thinking that I'm done, I'm finished. I can't compete anymore. I've got a family and I'm not winning grand slams and blah, you know, everything that they throw at you. But if you've got that attitude, Brett, and you say that I'm not giving in, you can kill me before I give in. But that's going to get criticism.
That's all right.
Because that's not the game. No, this is a game. Let's go up and give hugs. That's not the way I played it. I didn't play it like that. I'm going to tell you another thing. Larry Bird didn't play it like that either. Michael Jordan didn't play it like that either. Wayne Gretzky didn't play it like that either. They played it, you know, I'm going to go out, I'm going to, you know, whatever it takes to win this goddamn game, I'm going to do it.
Pete Rose.
And I'll say it.
Pete Rose.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you go Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, let's go back to, you know, Joe Montana. You want to stay around? I got a list as long as my arm.
We started off talking about Emma Navarro. Now we're into Joe Montana and Muhammad Ali.
Listen, to put her into that group, what a pleasure that is. How about that?
That's pretty quick.
Listen, if she's listening to this, how honored. You should be honored.
I just wanted to say, hey, it's nice to see another young American doing well. I didn't think, you know.
Yeah, Christ almighty.
Muhammad Ali.
Sometimes I just go off on a rant.
You're funny,
I don't know.
Dude.
Oh, God.
That's funny.
Get to another question.
All right,
hurry up.
Here we go. Here's the last good one, I think, the night that I'm a little concerned with as a traveler myself. Have you seen what's been going on with the Boeing airplanes the last couple months?
Yikes.
Started off in January with that Alaska Airlines flight with the door that blew off because the bolts weren't on. Right. There's been video after video where one wing is half detached, one, you know, from the ground they see fire spitting out of an engine. It's all these Boeing, it seems like Dreamliners, a lot of them are. Have you been watching any of this?
Yeah, I have. And listen, your sister is in down in Palm Beach in Florida, and I'm driving from now on.
Right, or train or something, anything.
Yeah, do something. Oh, holy Christ almighty. And the putting in the wrong bolts. I hate to even go to a point where you think it's a conspiracy.
Or just like ineptitude or something. It's like the thing that's crazy is I saw a report saying they had people were doing jobs within the airplane, like the maintenance people, with like one guy was seen using a hotel key card to like measure the distance in between a door crack. One person was using liquid Dawn soap as a lubricant.
Right.
The crazy part is Melina and I are taking a trip next month. Melina's birthday, so we're going on a trip. We've been planning it for a while, this and that, and we've been seeing all this, and we're like, damn, man, it's like, I don't know if I really want to get on a Boeing airplane. Let's double check. What were the flight plans that we booked for next month? Pull it up. Oh, wait, Alaska Airlines?
Ooh.
Oh, maybe it's the other one. Maybe it's the, you know, Airstream or whatever. Oh, no, it's a Boeing. It's a Boeing Alaska Airlines flight that we're taking next month. So bring your Dawn soap and wish us luck, dude.
I might come down there and be a front lineman, you know, on the offensive line to keep you from getting on those planes.
Jesus, though. I mean, the crazy thing is
it's crazy.
It shows how much, like, because everything is about the stock market. You know, everything's about stocks and making stocks go up and buying back stocks and stocks and stocks and stocks. And like, and then like eventually that mentality is going to have some sort of ramifications, because like if everything's about profit and money, you're probably going to start cutting some corners or skipping some steps or not doing it, you know, or more lackadaisical, like, you know, environment or whatever you want to call it. But like just the fact that on something like air flight, like flight, like
but then taking, that shit, when that shit happens, isn't there insurance involved?
I mean, you know, yeah, but how much is that going to make you feel good? Just like when your plane goes down, but as
when
you do,
you
they,
lose your family, when you
they
lose
scream
your family,
out, "Hey, it's okay, it was insured."
Right? Yeah. Right. I mean, is that the whole thing? You know, you lose your family, but you know, you get a pittance.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
No trip is worth it.
That's why I'm not afraid to leave Santa Barbara, Brett.
Or you are afraid.
You know, huh?
You are afraid to leave Santa Barbara.
No, I know. You're right. I said it wrong. I am afraid to leave Santa Barbara. You're right.
Yeah, I don't blame
thank you.
You.
Yeah. I'm sitting in my den right now. I've got our little stray cat, Stevie, sitting on my lap. I'm a happy guy.
Yep.
You know, but you know, all these things that are happening, yeah, you know, that seem to be out of the ordinary. I don't know. I don't know how to handle that. And I've always told you that, you know, I'm in an age where I don't want to do anything where the side effect is pain.
Right. I get that.
You know, and have to go through that. And, you know, I don't want to bungee jump. I don't want to, you know, go on a zip line. I don't want to jump out of an airplane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe I don't want to fly on an airplane.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, comes down to a point of making the decision. And if I ever make the wrong decision and I'm up there, I'm going to cuss a lot of people out on the way down. I'm telling you. I mean, because it's just I don't know. I mean, it's my feeling. I'm happy where I am. And I know I argue with you quite often. You know, you guys got to get away. You guys got to do this. You guys got to do that. You know, now you see why.
Yeah, I get it now.
Now you see why.
I get it. Just stay in car range.
Yeah.
You get. We need to like rent you guys like a bus with a driver and just like let them take you around to all the places you want to go.
I'm in for that.
Yeah.
I'd be in for that in a heartbeat.
That way you don't have to get on a plane. Now we know why Casey doesn't fly. Our friend Casey DeFranco, who came on with us a couple months ago, will not get on an airplane. And she might have been ahead of the game a little bit.
Yep. She was way ahead. I know you've got something going the scene you have to be a part of and get to. And I miss you, because last podcast we were sitting right across the table and we had a great time. I know you're in LA and I'm in Santa Barbara now, but nothing more fun than being with you, son, because you know we talk in this podcast the way that we talk in person.
Yeah,
you know, while we're on the golf course and you know and with our friends and all that, and we appreciate our listeners and our fans and those who tune in that are part of what we do. We love it. We love your questions. And, you know, you can always follow me at Jimmy Connors on Twitter, at Brett_Connors on Twitter, on my Facebook.
Yep.
Anyplace else?
Yep.
At Advantage Connors.
That sounds good. At ADV Connors. Yeah. I enjoy it too. Sometimes we don't even talk in between the podcasts because we're busy or I'm working or you're working or we're traveling or doing something. But when we hook up the Zoom and hit record, it's like we haven't missed a beat. So couple things to check out if you want, entertainment wise. Saw Dune 2 last night. On the Dolby Digital IMAX screen, which is, we didn't realize. We bought these tickets. We went with our friend Rex, who is, we talked about. I went to his birthday a couple weeks ago. He cuts our hair.
Shout out
like
to
one
Rex.
Of our best friends.
He's such a good guy. So much fun.
He cuts Melina and I's hair. So we came here, cut both our hair, went, got dinner, and then went and saw Dune 2 in this theater where it's like the surround sound and the seats like move and vibrate and like the audio is like crazy. So I bought the tickets, and I was like, holy shit, $25 a ticket. Like, how? I sounded like an old man. I was like, just back when I was a kid, it was like $4 to go see a movie, you know?
pretty soon you'll be a senior.
Yep, I'll get that discount. But it was pretty cool. The plot, not complicated or anything, but visually it's a pretty fun, entertaining movie. So if you're looking for something to see. And streaming on Peacock, there is a show called Traitors.
I'm on that.
You're on
that tonight.
Okay. It's based on a party game called Werewolves that people might know about. I didn't know much about it, but I've looked it up. It's entertaining. It's a show about, it has like 25 people. Three of them get selected to be traitors, and then everyone else is called a faithful. And then the whole show is trying to figure out who the traitors are. And every night the traitors kill one faithful. And then every day the faithfuls can banish one person they think is a traitor. And so back and forth and drama ensues. And it's it's entertaining. Melina and I, you know, kind of thought it was is this like another Survivor game or whatever? It's better than Survivor, and it's more entertaining. It's a quick watch. It's fun.
I'm going to get on it tonight.
That sounds good.
I like it.
All right. All right, I'm getting
girls a hug. Okay. Both of them, Melina and Bella. Love you.
I will. I love you. I'll talk to you all next week, and we'll check in then. Peace.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.